Turn again to the book of Ephesians. I'm going to be in chapter 6 tonight, starting with verse 10. And I'm going to be talking about something that we all know about, and we've heard about it. We know the Lord has talked about it. We know that Paul has talked about it. And it's been preached on, but I still say today we need some today that will stand with the Lord and allow Him to do the work within each one of our hearts. But it's speaking about the warfare. It's speaking about the Christians. It's speaking about the troubles that we go through. It speaks about the conflict that we have. It speaks about what the devil is trying to do to his people. And I still say that if you want to really find out, and if you really want to examine somebody and examine them in a way, and the way that God wants us to examine them, if they are Christian or not. Now, we know over there in the book of Hebrews, and we also see, and we find it over there in the book of Jeremiah 2, I think it is, that speaking about the Christians, speaking about the way the Christians, the way the individual should act. Now, we know that people, and you've heard them, you've even had people to tell you, "Yeah, I'm a Christian. Where you go to church at?" "I don't go to church. I don't need church." Well, my Bible teaches different. My Bible teaches that, yes, I need church. I need the people that's in the building. I need each one of you to have fellowship. Now, is a word that is not, you don't hear that much of anymore. I know at one time you used to, but you don't anymore. And that's the way, I reckon that's the way the thing's going today, I reckon. But it's the word chastisement. Chastisement. What does chastisement mean? Correction. That He wants to correct us because we are going in the wrong direction as His soldiers. And He'll chasten you. And He'll get you back on the right track. If you're saved, if you're Christian, you're going to want to get back on the right track. You're going to want to serve Him more faithfully when He chastens you than you did before. Because an individual that's not saved, he's not going to chasten. He's not going to allow them to have the blessings through chastisement. Did you realize that when an individual, when a Christian, when they are chastised or when they're chastened by the Lord, at the end of that chastisement, there comes a blessing. What is that blessing? We end up having a closer walk with Him. That's the only kind of blessing I want, as a blessing to where I'm walking closer to Him. And I don't always walk that close to Him. I need to, but I don't always. But we can take the word chastisement and we can use that with the soldiers also of the cross. You know, and that's just like the men and women we have on the in the armed forces today that's around the world. Yeah, they're being chastened. They're being chastisement upon them. But who are they getting the chastisement from the officer, from the one that's in a higher rank than they are. And with them in mind, the father, he's in the highest rank that there is. You can't get no higher than that. But it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in thy power of his might. Strong within the Lord. And with that strength and with his chastisement and keeping us in order. And I tell you what, he has got a full-time job. That is a full-time job for anybody to be able to keep the individual that they're chasing, that they love, to keep them in mind and to keep them corrected. That's just like a child. A child today is, they're being chastised, but they don't understand it. They don't understand why we will take, and if they do something wrong, they don't understand why we go and we'll put them in time out into a corner, or we'll whip them. They don't understand it why we do that. But one thing about it that we can understand by them, that you can take a child, and yes, they will get in a squabble with the brothers and his sisters, or with another child, or something that's in the neighborhood or something. And yes, and they may go to mama or go to daddy, and they'll start boo-hooing, and they'll start crying. And they'll say, well, little Johnny, he hit me. And say, well, he pulled my hair. And she turned around and she hit me because I pulled her down. But you take 5 minutes. Sometimes you don't even have to wait 5 minutes. That child that just went to mom or daddy, that was booing and crying, and said that Johnny pulled my hair, or Susie hit me because of it, next 5 minutes they'll be hugging each other. They'll be hugging each other. They'll be playing with each other like nothing has never ever happened. That's the reason I believe that the Lord had in the Bible that we must come as little children. We must come as little children. And when an individual, when they get saved, they have become that little child. Because they need correction. I'll say this. That as far as the church today, we don't have no strong leadership within the church. We don't have no strong leaders within the church to where the new converts can follow after. And which in, we'll say, well, oh, yeah, they come down, they got saved. Well, let's see how long they'll last. How many of you have heard that? How long will they last? They come down and got saved. You know how long they'll last? They'll last no longer than the weakest link or the weakest individual that you have in the service. It's up to us to keep them strong. It's up to us for them to follow the Lord. and to have the power of the Lord upon their life. But we don't know. We won't never pick up his phone. We won't never call him and say, "Well, how are you doing today? I just thought I'd call you. You know, you was on my mind. I just thought I'd call you and see how you're doing. Would you like to go out and get some coffee this evening?" And they may say, "Well, I can't today. I got something else I got to do." Well, just as soon as you can go out and get a cup of coffee or something like that, hey, give me a call. Give me a call. And let us show that we care. And when we do get somebody like that, we go visit them, and when we ask them if they'd like to go out and get a cup of coffee, and if they do, they will meet us there. We should not wait until they go in front of us and say, "Well," they say, "Well, preacher, I've got this today. I'll pay for this." No. We invited them out. We need to pay for the coffee. We need to let them know that we will do anything we can for them. Now, sometimes when we say that to people, people say, "Well, I just wonder how much he really means that." Next week you'll see a man that says, "Well, you know, preacher, last week you took me out and you got me a cup of coffee, and I told you that, and you said that it was anything I could ever do for you. Just let you know." We'll say, "Preacher, you know, I got a little something that I feel like that I need. And I don't have it at the house. And I need some food. I don't mind going out and go with the individual. And I don't mind going out and buying the food for them. But just handing over the money to them? Mm-mm. If they're sincere about what they need, then they will say okay. Because 90% of the time, they will end up taking the money, and then they will go out here and buy something. This is not no food related at all. They might go out here and buy a six pack. They might go out here and buy some bologna, and they might buy a loaf of bread and some mayonnaise and something like that. But they can make sure, if they got the money in the back pocket, that they can be able to go and buy the beer or buy the wine or the liquor and stuff like that. I would be just as guilty as the one that is standing behind the bar and pouring that drink for them. I'd be just as guilty. Why? Because I know better than to give them the money. And I look at it this way. If they come back and say, "Well, no, I don't need the money. I don't need the groceries right now. I just need some money right now where I can go out and get something now." Yeah, it's a cop-out. We have too many people out here as a cop-out. They want this and they want that, but they don't need it. They don't need it. The Lord knows exactly what we need. The only thing we need clothes on our back. The only thing we need is a roof over our head. And we need food to put in our bodies for strength. That's a need. That's not a want. That's a need. But if I go out and if I myself go out here and if I buy groceries, and the last thing that I come up with, I will go buy and buy a carton of cigarettes, or I'll go out and buy a carton of beer. That's not a need, that's a want. Anything that has a want to it is the devil's. That's what the devil wants us to do. The devil wants us to have the wants, the want to's. But God wants us to have the need to. And you know something about God, he just blows my mind sometimes. Sometimes he'll just throw a little want to in it. He'll throw a little want to in it. But he don't throw it in a way to where the next time that I go to him, that I'll go to him in prayer and I want this and I want that. I want it in car here. Well, is that brand new Lincoln that I want? Is it going to get me to the next place? The next house that I'm going to visit? No. Is it going to help me to win souls for the Lord Jesus Christ? No. That's a want to. The reason the Lord gives us our needs, he gives it to us in a way to where that's what we need to go out and do his work. How would it be that for me, being the pastor here, how would it look if I drove up on a brand new pickup or a brand new Lincoln? Then I went out visiting somebody and then I pulled up on a brand new truck or a brand new Lincoln, either way. How would that look? What would be going through their mind? He's all in it for the money. He's all in it for the money. I knew a preacher, he's gone on home now. But he lived up there right at the edge of Virginia and West Virginia. He had a church. And he stayed at the church about 25 years, 30 years. And all of a sudden, the Lord just spoke to him and he says, I need for you to go to the mountains. I need you to go this way. The foot of the mountains, there's a church. They need somebody that would help them. That would help them spiritually. And I want you to go. He said when he left that church that he had been pastoring by about 25 or 30 years, that he had grown to the point that they was running probably around 200, a little over. And he was making about $35,000, maybe $40,000 a year at the time. But he resigned the church. He said, Lord, I'm going. I'm going to go where you say go. The Lord, I know that you're going to look after me. I know that. I don't have no problem with that. But while we're going and while I'm driving, please speak to my wife. because it's going to be different to her, because she's have got so used to the people. So she went on. He went on and he drove to the church. When he went into the church, there were about 35, 40 people in the church. They still owed money. And they still had the regular bills that was coming in. The electric bill and all the other, the telephone bill, all of that other. And some of them was willing to cut back, take the phone service out, and cut some of the other services out, like some of the lighting system that they had. Change the sign right there that it used to have a light to come on at dark and stayed on all night. Some of them said, we don't need that. We can do away with that. All we got to do is take your bulbs out. And he says, and you know, you just got to be mindful of what you're doing. They said, well, we ain't discussed your salary yet. I said, well, I don't need you discussing my salary because God's already discussed it with me. And God says, I'm going to take care of you, son. And he went and he took that little church. They paid him $50 a week. $50 a week. And his wife, she didn't know what to believe. I think she got to the point that she was having pity me parties and stuff like that. He told his wife, he says, things will not get any better as long as you continue feeling the way you're feeling. You need to depend on God. Don't depend on the church. Don't depend on the people in the church, because anything can happen. Just depend on God. And that's what he done. And he said he never went by a week without having some money in his pocket. I know I'm probably not going to even get through the rest of this tonight, but that's okay. Lord, want me to go to where I'm going. But what he said, that the Lord had blessed him so much that if the people come up then and said, we can't even afford to give you the $50 a week. And he told them this. He says, whether you can afford it or not, I serve a God in heaven that owns all the banks that is in the world. He owns all the hills. He owns all the cattle that's on the hills. He owns everything. And I know that. I don't have to worry about it. They said, well, I tell you one thing, you got the faith. He said, that's what I'm trying to teach you. To have faith. If you'll have faith in God, it's nothing that you cannot do. And it's nothing that we cannot do. If we have faith in God, and God will take what little faith that we do have, he can move mountains. We can move mountains. And I'm not talking about a little mountain right here. When you go down a highway and you look up and you'll see white oak mountain up there. all that dirt and the trees. I'm not talking about that kind of mountain. God's not either. He's talking about the difficulties we have all in life. He talks about the different things that we face in day to day. It's different things that we face that comes up we don't know anything about. That's the reason that God said today is a day of salvation. That's the reason He says there will be no tomorrow. There won't. There's not no tomorrow. Never will be a tomorrow. Never has been a tomorrow. Never has been a yesterday. Why? We're not living in a yesterday. I'm not living yesterday. In fact, because what happened yesterday is nothing I can do about it. Nothing I can change about it. And if I think about Thursday, if I think about Friday and Saturday, if I think about next week, there's nothing I can do about that. I can't change the fact that something's going to come up and it's going to surprise me. But it's not going to surprise God. Nothing ever surprises God.
But there are people I hear. They just think that they can go on day after day. They can go all the way down to the very last moment and think that they can get in. But see, they do not know the very last moment. Because God the Father, when He sends His Son back after us, He's going to come back as a thief in the night. That's when we're going to be surprised. That's when they're going to be surprised. And they have no hope then. They have no way of getting out. Because see, even though they may go through the tribulation, and they may go through the after the rapture, and go through the 3.5 years of the tribulation, and they may go through the other half of it. But what they don't realize is the ones that's living today, they don't get a second chance. They don't get a second chance. They don't get a chance after the rapture, after the church is gone. Why? Because when the church is gone, what's going to be gone? The Christian. And the most important thing is going to be gone. Is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's not going to speak to nobody. They can't get saved. But the ones that are born after that, and there's going to be some that's going to be born after that during the tribulation. And when they are, they will have an opportunity . But the only way they'll have the opportunity if they take the mark of the beast, 666. If they don't take the mark of the beast, 666, not going to happen. They're doomed. And you can tell the devil all day long, says, I'm not going to take it. I'm not going to take it. That's going to be the same thing as rejecting God. As people do today. when they reject God, that means that they're rejecting what His Son, Jesus Christ, done at Calvary for them. A soldier. We can go and we can read the rest of this chapter. And we can see where the different things that He's been dressed out with. That's just like a soldier now that's been called to the faraway country. They're not sent over there just with the clothes that they got on their back. Brother Bill, if you went into the armed services and you went ahead to go overseas, they're not going to let you go like that. They're not going to let you go with the same attire that you got on. They're not going to let me go like I'm going and dressed out. No. Why? Because we will not be dressed out for the battle. The soldiers knows exactly what they're going to war with. They know exactly what they're going overseas with. They're going overseas with the right kind of uniform. They're going overseas, they're going to have the right kind of shoes on. They're going overseas to have the right kind of helmet on. And they're going to also, I believe, they're going to have the peace of God. Because you know something, I honestly believe for an individual, a man or woman, either one, that goes into service today, where we don't have a draft, but they volunteer in going into the services today, that they've got to have something that's within their soul that me and you don't have. I wouldn't want to go into service. I wouldn't want to. But if it brought the draft back and they said, well, you going, I wouldn't want to go, but I would go. Why? Because I love this country that much. That's what they do. They have the love in their heart for this country. They have the love in their heart for that flag. And the reason people today, they don't have the love in their heart for that flag, is because that they will not work, they will not do anything to help their own selves. But that flag right there means freedom. If it wasn't for the men and women that went to battle overseas, we wouldn't have the freedom that we have today. Even though I know that God, He has been at the center of it, and He's granted us freedom. But we had somebody that was willing to fight for it. We as people right here tonight, I believe what God is trying to say and trying to tell me is we need to fight for Faith Baptist Church. Because if we don't fight for it, who is? I know a number of churches around town, they've told me, they said, well, you might want to close up down there. You ain't got but a few people down there. I said, yeah, you're right. Ain't got but a few people. But I bet you can't say this in your church. At least mine are faithful. At least I count on mine for this Sunday. At least I count on the church down there
on Sunday night, Wednesday night. Here it is. You can't even count on a third of your people to be back tonight. And I says, you don't know anything about our church. You don't know what goes on. You don't have people feel or nothing. I do. They're close to God. Yeah, maybe the Lord is saying, well, you know, I'm coming back. And I'm coming back soon. Just maybe he's pruning the church. Getting all the dead weight out. Getting the people that comes in, stands and sings, oh, how I love Jesus. And the victory that they have. They don't even know anything about the love that they're supposed to have for Jesus. And the victory, they ain't won no victory. They don't even know what victory is. All the victory they know anything about is if end of the week shows up. That they don't want the victory all week. Because they got a paycheck. That paycheck can be gone. Just like that. Split second, it can be gone. But my love and my faithfulness for the Lord Jesus Christ can never be gone. No one can ever take it away from me. Oh, Satan, he loved to. You know how he does it today? For the Christians, he will attack us. Because see, if he attacks us, and if we get into his, and we give in to his tactics, then he's defeated us. Why? Because there was probably an individual life who was lost that had been watching our life. Had been watching my life for probably 30 years. But now Satan comes in and brings discouragement to me. He comes in, he attacks me. He comes in and he wants to break up my home. He comes in and wants to break up my family and everything. He comes in and he tells my wife, says, you better stay close to God. He's running around. Hey, he will do that. I mean, but why? He's a liar. And he's the father of all lies. Where God is the father of the Christian. He is the father of salvation. He's the father of truth. The devil, he's the father of all lies. And if he gets me, and if I fall, and if I give in to what he's done, then that individual that's been watching my life all these years, they will probably say to themselves, says, you know, he stayed in it longer than I ever thought. He stayed in church as long as I thought. And he was preaching as long as I thought. But now, he's at home on Sunday. He's at home on Wednesday night. He's not preaching anymore. You don't ever see him with the Bible anymore. If the devil can do that to me and get a hold to me, then he's the one, his battle for the week. He's the one, his battle for the week. We must watch what we say because people are always looking at you and at me. And how true it is. And I know y'all heard it. Times passed. That your life and my life will be the only Bible that they'll ever read. That's reading our life. Reading our life. Did you realize that when we was born, we started a biography on ourselves? Right now I got 65 chapters in my biography. The first 30 chapters is not so good. It's telling all the things that I used to do, all the things that I've done before. But since August of 1930, it's got some things in it that I've done right. And it gets better as age goes on. As long as I live for the Lord, and as long as I contribute to the church, as long as I contribute to my Lord and my Savior, my biography is going to end up like something that I never ever thought that people could say about me. You know, if people can say something good about us, that's great. That's great. But what is wonderful is when somebody says, I know that they're a true Christian. I've seen them walk the walk. I've seen them talk the talk. I've seen them fight the battle. They've kept the faith. I won't be like Paul. I won't be like Paul. What Paul said, well, he can say, what Paul said, I have kept the faith. I have fought the battle. I know I ain't saying it word for word, but he's saying it. Now, the walk that I walk and talk that I talk, now, is that I'm the winner. I'm the one that's running race, and I'm not second. I'm not third, and I'm not last. I won the race that the Lord had put me on.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this evening. We thank you, Father, for each and every word, Father, that you give me, Father. Father, that was not even what I was going to even speak about tonight. But I'm so thankful that I can depend on thee 100%, that the Father, that you will allow me to hear thy voice. And Father, that you may voice something that will even touch our own hearts. So Father, we thank you for that blessing, Lord, that's from on high, God, that you've touched my heart with. God, go with us and lead, guide, and direct us. Father, to the rest of this evening, tonight, that you be with everyone here. Give them a good night's rest. That they can wake up in the morning. They can be refreshed and be renewed within thee. That they will say, Father, what do you want me to do today? In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen.